for that. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to, hallelujah, where shall we begin? Go to, thank you, Father, Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel 22. And I'm going to continue where I left off last week, talking about extraordinary things through ordinary people. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Ezekiel 22, verse 30, says, "And I sought for a man among them that would make up the hedge and stand in that gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." To me, this scripture is probably one of the most saddest ones in the Bible, that God was looking for a man. But then he had to come to a place and said, I couldn't find one. Man, is that heartbreaking or what? Think about that for a moment. God was looking for a man. And you have to understand how this was written and why this was written is the God's people had given themselves over to other idols, and they'd give themselves over to other things, and they really let God totally go. And what happened is everything that God had given them was being taken and was being destroyed. And God said, I look for a man that would stand in the gap. I'm looking for a man. I'm looking for someone that will stand in the gap. It was kind of like Abraham standing in the gap for Lot. You know, God said, I won't destroy Sodom if I could just find one person, or 50 people. Or he said, well, how about for 40? Or how about for 20? How about for 10? And he's looking for someone that will be able to stand in the gap. He's looking for someone that would stand in the gap to keep from happening what was about to happen. He was looking for, you know, it didn't say he was looking for an angel. He wasn't looking for a priest. He wasn't looking, he was looking for a man.
Yes. Amen.
He was looking for a man. Amen. Say that with me. He was looking for a man. He was looking for a man. God takes ordinary things and does extraordinary things with them. Just think about through scripture, he caused an axe head to float for a purpose. He took a few fish and a few loaves, just ordinary fish and loaves, and fed 5,000 with them. He took a fish and put money in its mouth to provide for a need. He took an ordinary stick and it ended up becoming an instrument that would help part the Red Seas. Think about it. Just ordinary things.
Come on.
He took ordinary footsteps of four leprous men and made them sound like an army.
Amen.
God took just ordinary oil and multiplied it for a widow, where her and her son never lacked for the rest of their life. How much more, if he could do something with just an ordinary object, how much could he do with a man? Wow. Jeremiah 29:11, we talked about this last week. It says, "For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans of peace and not evil, to give you hope in your final outcome." God has thoughts about you, but too often our thoughts that we have are crippling about ourselves. You see, God has thoughts about us that are amazing. God has thoughts about us that are unlimited, but yet the thoughts we might have about ourselves might be crippling. Here, God's got these amazing thoughts here, but yet what are the thoughts that we have about ourselves? Our thoughts can consist of could have, should have, or I'm a has been. But yet God's thoughts are, I'm looking for a man. I'm looking for a man. I'm looking for a man. See, we limit God in our lives because how we view ourselves and how we view our own personal lives. Instead of settling the fact that my future and my life isn't based on how good I am, but my life is based on how good he is.
Yes.
The extraordinary things in my life aren't about all how good I can be, but it's how extraordinary He is. All He's looking for is a man that will believe Him. All He's looking for is a man that will say, you know what? I'll take that. I'll take that. Even though I don't necessarily agree with it right now, but I take it. I'm not sure. God, you see something that I don't see, but you know what? I'm going to take that. I'm going to be the man. Give me the baton. I don't know. I've never done this before, but give me a chance. Give me a chance. But too often we sit back and we allow our thoughts to cripple our lives, to hinder our lives, to cause us to be not quite good enough.
Amen.
Come on. See, we need to settle in our hearts who God is and who we are.
Yes.
We read this last week as well, Ephesians 2. He says, we are His workmanship.
Amen.
We are His workmanship. We are His clay. And He is the potter. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works.
Amen.
We've been created for good works. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Who is He and who are we? Hallelujah. Just say, I'm coming up. I say it again, I'm coming up. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, but you are a chosen generation. See, who is He and who are we? See, you have to stop judging yourself according to your weaknesses and stop judging yourself according to how you see yourself. You need to start seeing yourself the way God sees you. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He who knew no sin became sin that you might become the righteousness of God. You are righteous. It's not based on you. That's based on Him. Amen? And He has the audacity here to say, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar people.
Come on.
That didn't mean weird. Peculiar doesn't mean weird.
Come on.
You're a chosen generation. How does God view you? He views you as chosen.
Yes.
When He sees Joseph, He says, I chose him. The next word He says, a royal priesthood.
Amen.
See, that's not like we just like stopped with, I'm a chosen generation. But also, you're royal.
Amen.
You're a princess.
Amen.
You're royal to Him.
Amen.
Betty, you are royalty.
Amen.
I speak life over you.
Yes.
Receive that.
Yes.
He wants to speak to you. Not in positions of anxiety, but He wants to speak to you.
Yes.
And He's going to give you the things that you need to hold on to in this season. I don't know what that means, but hallelujah.
Amen.
You're chosen. I'm royal. You see, if you understood how God really sees you, it would really change how you walk and how you talk. Man, I'm royalty. I'm royalty. I'm royalty. Wow. I'm royal priesthood. Now, I'm holy.
Come on.
I'm a holy nation. You're a chosen generation. You're chosen by Him. Now that, but He considers you royalty.
Amen.
Now that, but He calls you holy.
Yes, that's right.
You're a holy nation.
Yeah.
Well, Pastor Justin, you don't know my thoughts. It doesn't matter. He calls you holy.
That's right.
He calls you holy. Stop measuring your life according to what you think about yourself. Because it's when we understand who He is and we understand that we'll never be holy in our own ability anyway. That the only way that we will ever be holy in ourselves is if we understand who we are in Him. I'm holy because He made me holy. I'm righteous because He made me righteous. See, you need to allow that to change you, because when you start understanding that you're holy, it will start changing your mindset and the decisions that you make. When you understand you're holy, wait a minute. Okay, Justin, you're holy. Okay. You know what? I guess a holy person really doesn't make a choice like that. I guess a holy person really doesn't do that. But the more and more you think yourself as a failure, the more and more you think as an addict, the more and more you think of yourself as a loser, the more and more you think of yourself that you made too many mistakes, the more and more your life will continue to go another direction. But when you focus on Him, I'm chosen. Hallelujah. Man, I'm royal. I'm holy. And I'm peculiar. See, that's what we're saying. It doesn't mean weird. You know what peculiar means? It means rare. It's actually two words make up this word peculiar, and it means person that goes in to make an acquisition at no expense. Think about that. It has to do with an acquisition. What is an acquisition? If someone were to buy land, what they do, they're acquiring something. Mm-hmm. And so that word peculiar means someone that will go into something and make an acquisition at it doesn't matter how much it costs.
So good.
And He calls you a peculiar person. You're the one that I gave my son for. You're the one that I risked everything for. That's how you have to see yourself. That's how you have to wake up in the morning. I'm chosen. I'm royal. I'm holy.
Come on.
And I'm rare. Hallelujah. You're chosen. You're royal. You're holy. You're peculiar. So that what? You could show forth His praises. Because what He has called me out of darkness and into His marvelous light. You've been called out of something and into something else. You've been called out of darkness. See, darkness would love to paint your future. Darkness would love to shape your future. Darkness would love to end your marriage. Darkness would love to end your calling. Darkness would love to end your life. Darkness would love to do things. And He'll do it all kinds of ways. He'll do it through adultery. He'll do it through addiction. He'll do it through all sorts. He'll do it through greed. He'll do it through covetousness. He'll do it through lust. He'll do it through all kinds of ways. But you need to say, you're chosen. You're royal. I'm holy. I'm peculiar. And He has called me out of darkness and into His marvelous light. He's called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Wow, you need to get a hold of that. That if you're in darkness right now, that's not where you belong. You belong in light. You belong in joy. You belong in peace. You belong. But you know what? If He's looking for a man, but if that man doesn't know who he is, if that man doesn't know that he is the man, he'll never bridge that gap. And I'm telling you, we have almost generations of people that will refuse to stand in that gap because of how they view themselves. There's many in here this morning that you won't stand in that place because you don't see yourself as worthy of that place. You won't stand in that place because you don't know that you don't have a revelation that you're chosen, that you're royal, that you're holy, or that you're peculiar. You don't have a revelation of it. And if you're going to possess and be extraordinary, and if God's going to take just an ordinary man and do something extraordinary for them, there's things that you have to realize. And the first thing is realize who you are. And realize where you've been called. You've been called out of darkness and into His marvelous light. You're going to have to leave some things behind. Go to Genesis chapter 12. Hallelujah. I'm not going to be able to finish this morning. We'll come back next week and pick up. But Genesis 12, verse 1. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you." Now listen to that. The Lord said unto Abram, Abram's just an ordinary man.
Come on.
Just an ordinary person.
Come on.
And he shows up to him and says, get out of your country, from your kindred and from your father's house to a place that I'll show you. Why was it so important for Abraham to leave his father's house? Why is it such a big deal? Why couldn't he? You know, I asked myself this question. Why couldn't I fulfill my purpose in Salisbury, Maryland? Because that's not where God called me. If I didn't obey God, then I'd still be in Maryland trying to figure out what I was called to do. But in order for me to go where God wanted me to do, there were some things I was going to have to leave behind. And it's the same thing with Abram. If you're going to go, I want you to go to a place. But you're going to have to leave your father behind, your country and your kingdom. Why is that so important? Because your father, your country, and your kindred represent your customs. It represents your habits. It represents your traditions. How you do things and how you operate in things. I'll take it a step further. Why was it so important for Abram to live? Because he was, his family from the Ur of the Chaldees, they were moon worshipers. So Abraham was going to have to step out of moon worshipers in order to worship the one that created the moon. And so there was going to have to, he was calling Abraham, I've got something extraordinary for you, but you're going to have to leave there because what you have known about your past, what you have known about your life, what you have known, you cannot take that in with you into the next place. And so many times we find ourselves in that same place that Cassie, I want to do something in you, but you know what? There's some things you have to leave behind. There might be some friends you need to leave behind. There might be some old religious mindsets you need to leave behind. There might be some old friends that just keep hanging around. And the more and more old friends keep hanging around, the more and more you'll just be hanging. So sometimes it's time to just, you got to just shake some things off so you can get to a place where God's desiring you to be. So when he says, leave here, verse 2 says, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. See, I will make your name great. You will be blessed to be a blessing. All the nations of the earth will be blessed because of you.
So good.
What if Abraham didn't totally leave?
Wow.
And we know he wasn't totally obedient because he waited. He took his father to Haran with him, and he was stuck in Haran for a while. The word Haran means settled. He settled in Haran, and he wasn't obedient, so he had to wait till and then it delayed what God wanted to do. And all the while, God's saying, I've called you, I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to make you a great nation. Man. God wanted to do something great through Abraham, but he was going to have to leave some things behind.
That's
right. Say, he's looking for a man. Say that to me, he's looking for a man.
Looking for a
man. Wasn't looking for an angel. He was looking for a man. And just think all the things that God did throughout Scripture. It may have started with an angel, but it had to finish with a man. See, an angel could only come and give a message, but that message came to a man. And that man had to be obedient, and so that man could then do what God was desiring to do. Whatever God's going to do in the earth, it's going to happen through a man. You need to understand that. A lot of times people are like, well, just one day God's going to do something. No, one day God's wanting you to be obedient so he can do. Our life can no longer be about us waiting on God to do something. God is waiting on you and I to be the man and be the woman that God has called us to be. He's not waiting on you. We're not waiting on him. We're not waiting for some other visitation. We're waiting. He's waiting on us. You know, think about the children of Israel. They cried out to God because of their bondage. And he goes, I will come down and deliver him. But you know what? God's not the one that delivered them. What did God come down and do? He came down and spoke in a fiery bush. Who did he speak to? He spoke to Moses. Yeah, he came down all right, but it was to give instructions. See, he had to use a Moses to deliver people out of bondage. He had to use a David to defeat a Goliath. Everyone else was running back to their tent when Goliath would yell and despise them. It said they ran back dismayed and disheartened to their tents in fear. But yet it took a David, a shepherd boy, a boy that was rejected, a boy that was considered least in his family, to come out with an ordinary sling and an ordinary stones and defeat the giant of opposition. It took a man named Elijah to go to a widow woman to minister life to her and bring about provision for the rest of her life. It took a man named Ananias that would come to Paul and be the very instrument that God would use to not only remove the scales from his eyes, but tell him his purpose. Yeah, God showed him some things on that road to Damascus with a visitation, knocked him off his donkey, but what did he say? Go to Jerusalem, and there I'll tell you some things. But what did he do? He sent a man. He sent a man. And I'm telling you, the world that we live in, they're looking for a Moses that will set them free. They're looking for a David that will kill their giant. They're looking for Elisha that would bring about abundance. They're looking for an Ananias that would help remove the scales from their eyes and set them on course for their purpose. But he's going to use a man. Let's go to Philippians. Let's go to Philippians. He's looking for a man. He does extraordinary things through ordinary people. Say, he's waiting on me.
He's waiting on me.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Philippians 2. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. See, we need to get our mind off our things. Your things has been the very thing that have kept you in the wrong place for too long. Let every man look, not every man on his own. Meaning, I'm not to look on my own things. Don't look on my own purpose. Don't look on what I have in front. Don't look at your natural things. Don't look at just what you see. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Why? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. See, Jesus had to come as a man. He had to come as an ordinary man to do something extraordinary for man. He made himself of no reputation, took upon the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found and fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death of the cross. Wherefore God had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth. You see, man was broken, man was lost, and God was looking for a man, and he had to send Jesus to be the one to stand in the gap. Thank you. Let's go to Matthew 9. Matthew 9. Let me try to start to close with this. Matthew 9. Jesus was the man that stood in the gap for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And that sounds extraordinary to me. How about you? Jesus became a man, but he had to take his place in the earth. See, you could always be the man that God's looking for, but never take your place.
That's good.
Jesus had to take his place as being the one that was going to preach the gospel, the one that was going to heal every sickness and every disease among the people. He had to take his place as a man to do extraordinary things in the earth.
Yes.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Bobby? He wants to do extraordinary things through you, just like he did through Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you,
Father.
Wow. Amen.
Thank you, Father. In Philippians, it said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus.
Come on.
See, the whole point of why he was saying that was so we would focus on other people and not ourselves. So you know what? We have to come to the place where we recognize we're the man that God's called. We are the man that's God's called. Why? So I can look on what other people's problems. I can meet people where they are.
Yes.
So good.
And what did this man do? He went about doing good.
Amen.
He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? For God was with him. That's Acts 10:38. Verse 36 says, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Jesus was the man to be the one to minister to the people that were without a shepherd.
Right.
Jesus was saying, you know what? I'll be the shepherd. I'll be the shepherd.
Yeah.
I'm seeing them as not having a shepherd. He's saying, I'll be the shepherd. I'll be that man. But then Jesus shifts something here. I'm going to deal with this before I close. Verse 37. Then said he unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. See, Jesus was recognizing a need, but now he's looking for some men. Jesus became the man so that we could be the men. Think about that. He had to be the one so that you and I could now be the one. So he says this to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. Meaning there's a lot of people that are broken. There's a lot of people without a shepherd. There's a lot of people that don't have direction in life. There's a lot of people that are lost. There's a lot of people that aren't getting their needs met. There's a lot of people that are sick. There's a lot of people that have diseases. There's a lot of people that have demon oppression. There's a lot of people that are going through a lot of things. The harvest is great. But I'm looking for some laborers.
Come on.
I'm looking for some men. I'm looking for some women that will stand in the gap. So pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into the harvest. He's looking for some laborers. He's looking for some ordinary people that will do extraordinary things. He's looking for some ordinary people that recognize, wait a minute, I'm chosen. I'm royal. I'm holy. I'm peculiar. I've got something in me this world needs. I've got something that this world desperately needs. I've got the extraordinary that everyone else is looking for. I've got the hope that they're looking for. I've got the joy that they're looking for. I've got the peace that they're looking for.
Amen.
So I want you to realize that Jesus is asking for some men, and he's asking for some women. He's asking for some laborers. Then people say, I'll be a shepherd. I'll be obedient. I'll minister life to someone. I'll lead someone in the direction of their life. I'll be a giant slayer. I'll be a people deliverer. I'll be one that ministers to the widow. I'll be the one that helps remove blinders off people's eyes.
Come on.
I'll be the one. Let me be the one. I want to be the one. And I want to encourage you as a believer, that needs to be our quest. I want to be the one. I want to be the one. I want to be the one. And if that's not our heart cry, that needs to be our heart cry. I want to be the one. But too often we're, well, I need this breakthrough and I need that breakthrough. I need this prosperity. I need that blessing. I need this. I need that. I need this to work right. I need my children to act right. I need this to happen. I need that to happen. And it's all back on me. All on me. But I'm telling you, you take care of God's dream.
Yes, come on.
You take care of God's dream. Your dream is nothing to him. Your dream's nothing to him. He just wants you to be the one to stand in the gap. I'm looking for a man. So in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus was talking about looking for laborers. Let's go to Matthew 10. It says, and when he had called unto him the 12 disciples. Now it's interesting, in verse 37 of chapter 9, he said to the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. In the very next verse in chapter 1, remember, the Bible wasn't written in chapter and verse. He says, and when he had called the disciples. So he had just told them about looking for laborers.
Right.
So not only did he call for the laborers, but then it said he gave them power. See, he gave them power. See, he called ordinary laborers, but then realized that he gave the ordinary laborers power. He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Wow. So not only did he ask for the laborers, but then he turned around and he empowered the laborers. So I want you, not only is he asking for a man, but I want you to also know that he's empowered the man. Not only is he asking for you to take your place, but when you take your place, you got to realize he's already given you the power to fulfill your assignment and everything he's called you to do.
Yes.
I've given them power. See, he wouldn't call them to do something and not give them the power to complete it. He called them to be the man and then empowered them to be the man that he had called them to be. He gave them the power to do the very things that he had just done. What did he do? He saw them without a shepherd. And what did he do? He healed their sick and healed their lame, cast out the devils. And what did he do? I'm asking for laborers. And he turns around. I've given you the power to do everything I've always been doing. It's on the inside of you. See, but if we just see ourselves as just ordinary people, I'm just ordinary Justin. I'm not just ordinary Justin. I'm chosen. I'm royal. I'm holy. I'm peculiar. And I'm anointed. I'm empowered. I'm gifted. God is on me and in me, and his power works through my words and they works through my hands. See, too often people are timid of to pray for someone because they're not sure. Well, what if it doesn't happen? It doesn't matter. Just be obedient. He's given you the power to do it. Just be the man that he's called you to be. Hallelujah. Then he calls his disciples, he names them, and then verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth. He's sending forth these laborers. And he commanded them and said, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into the Samaritan cities enter ye not, but go rather the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I don't have time to explain that. Verse 7, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. See, he called the disciples, and this is something the Lord ministered to me years ago out of the scripture. He said, Justin, I've never, didn't require them to do anything they haven't already received. He says, freely you have received, freely give. God's not asking you to do something that he hasn't already told you could do it. And honestly, I don't believe he's asked us to do something that he hasn't already done in us.
That's right.
That's right. Yes, that's
freely as you received, freely give.
Come on.
Meaning, Matthew, James, John, Peter, I'm only asking you to do what you already have. Yeah. I'm only asking you to give what you've already received.
Yeah.
I'm not asking you to do something that hasn't been done or no one else. I'm only asking you what you received. And I believe the biggest and the greatest thing that we could give the world, because only you've received. I haven't received this. What I'm about to say is Autumn's received something that I haven't received. And I've received things that Autumn hasn't received. I've received some things that Jeremiah hasn't received. And Jeremiah's received some things that I haven't received. Freely give, freely receive. The biggest thing that can change your world to be the man is your testimony. Your testimony will be the biggest thing that will resurrect dreams and resurrect life.
That's right.
You even try to get all spiritual. I quote this scripture. And that, tell them your story about how God touched your life. There's nothing more real than that. There's nothing more real than the restoration that God did in your life. There's nothing more real than his voice to you directly. There's nothing more real.
Amen.
That's what Jesus was saying. Be the man. And all you need to do is whatever you receive, give it. We know at that time they saw Mary. They did those things. Do those things through them. But I'm telling you, what's your testimony? If you don't know about praying for people and you're not sure about all that, start with your testimony, because it will change someone else's life. It will change someone else's life. All we need to do is make a decision that we're going to be the man and we're going to be the woman.
Amen.
He's looking for a man. Father, I just thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for your word that's alive on the inside of each one of us. And Lord, I just as I prayed over this congregation over this last week and over this morning, Father, I just thank you for the gifts that are in them. I call forth the gifts and the talents that are within them. I call forth the anointings that are within them. I call forth the dreams that you established on the inside of them. I thank you, Father, that they are your man. They are your woman for this hour and this time, Lord. Thank you, Father. He's looking for laborers.
Yes.
My challenge to you this morning, will you be the man? Will you be the woman? I think the biggest thing that hinders us from doing great things and extraordinary things is just making a decision, I'll be the one, I'll be the man. I'll be the one that ministers to my family. I'll be the one that ministers to my city. I'll be the one that ministers to my nation. I'll be the one. I'll be the one. I'll be the one that helps that church grow. I'll be the one that helps that church fulfill its purpose. I'll be the one. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, Lord. Lord, I know every heart, because just it's born on the inside of us this desire to be significant. But so often we try to find our significance in so many other things. That this morning they'd hear your voice and they would know that you have a purpose for them. They would know that you have something significant for them. And the only thing they need to do is take a step, leave things behind, and allow you to do extraordinary things through them. Thank you, Father. Just while you're seated there with heads bowed and eyes closed, if this morning, Pastor Justin, pray for me. I feel insignificant. I feel like I don't matter. But this morning, as you spoke, I have hope this morning. And I want to be that man, and or I want to be that woman that God can use. Just raise your hand where you are. See those hands. I see those hands. I see those hands. See those hands. I see those hands. You can put the hands down. Everyone stand to your feet. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Kiro bokosha dalana namasi. Old things are passed away and all things become new. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yes, Father. Yeah. Yeah, I was going to, felt direct I was going to pray for you, but then I just hear in my heart that it's not a matter of having hands laid on you. It's not a matter of being prayed for necessarily. But what the Lord just spoke to my heart, and he said, this is all about your pursuit. And he says, as you pursue me, you will find yourself right in the middle of what I've called you to do and where I've called you to be. But it's an everyday pursuit. Thank you, Father, that that would be our pursuit. Just have that, just as, yeah, just that pursuit. Just keeps going off all morning. Just that pursuit is vital for us to step in that place, to be that man and that woman of God he's called us to be. And I don't know what that word pursuit means to you, but I do know, it does know it means this. It means he's your priority and he's the one you're running after. So if there's anything else in this equation having to do with things, having to do with relationships, having to do with anything natural, then those things need to be pushed to the side and allow him to be the priority. And I keep saying, and he says, I promise you, I promise you, I promise you, you will not be disappointed. For you'll be astounded for the great things that I can do through a man whose heart is persistent after me. In Jesus' name. Do you receive that this morning? Give him a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.